And like I said, there's two religions in the world. And they ain't it. And so we're definitely aware of that. I think this crowd's aware of that. But here's the thing. Why we're studying any of this is because we want to be able to... And you're not going to really get a good chance to talk to these people. You might. I heard some of you give testimony that, you know, when they come to the door, they always have two, which is scriptural, actually. And they have one is in training. So being that one is in training, you might want to just go ahead and say a few things, just because that person may find themselves in questioning what it is they're training under. Yes. And they may go ahead and leave. My folks are in the back there. They were in training one time as Jehovah's Witnesses. I could have been in the Kingdom Hall today. And thank God I'm not. But they heard some things that they didn't agree with, and they left. Now, Pastor and I were in the jail, going into the jail here in Martin County, and there was a young lady that was... why we were in there, but there was another young lady who heard about us going in there. We were in the woman's part, and she wanted us to come in and talk to her. Well, it turns out she was a JW and trying to recover from that or get out of that. And her family back home said, "You don't understand. If I stop being a JW, they will disown me." And I mean, Baptists are bad enough the way we treat people, but those people, just like other religions, they will kick you out. And you are not welcome in the home. We don't want to see your children. Don't come back. It's really that severe. But pray the Lord. If you ever get a chance to get in front of these people, at least you know where you stand. Because there's a lot of people that get sucked into that. You're going to see in your notes here, there's only 8.7 million active members. That's not a lot worldwide. That's not a lot. It's the same kind of thing as Judaism. Same kind of thing as Catholicism. It doesn't matter what name you put on it. If it's false, it's false. If it's Antichrist, it's Antichrist. And people are looking for answers. And we all Christians want to provide those answers. We're supposed to study to give an answer. And so there are people with questions. The Lord expects us to have an answer. So anyway, the history of the Jehovah's Witness, real briefly here at the beginning. The group emerged from the Bible student movement founded in the late 1870s by Charles Taze Russell. So you're going to see in the notes here that they were called Russellites in the beginning. With the formation of Zion's Watchtower Tract Society, with significant organizational and doctrinal changes under the leadership of Joseph Franklin Rutherford, so he's the next guy that came along, they were called Russellites. The name Jehovah's Witnesses was adopted in 1931 to distinguish themselves from other Bible students, other Bible student groups, which is where they emerged from, and symbolize a break with a legacy of Russell's traditions. So they will deny this today. They will say, "Oh no, we didn't start with him, Russell. That was just he brought it to the forefront." You go to JW.org, and I told Pastor yesterday. I said, "You know, they have a tremendous website." I mean, literally, I wish our church website was whoever did theirs. I want them to do ours. They have just literature and search the whole thing. Anything you want to know about them, they will tell you. Now, they'll tell you the abbreviated form, and then you have to search a little harder to find the lengthy form. Because what you get at your door is the abbreviated form. We're Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ. And we'll look at that here today, how they really do believe in Him. How they believe in Him, I should say. Not that they really do. Getting back to this, there are about 8.7 million active members and a memorial attendance of 17 million. Now, the memorial is what they do, what we would call the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. And they do it in Mass, and they do it, they call the table of the Lord a ransom or proprietary sacrifice, right there in brackets in your paper. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but what they do is... there's 144,000. They still believe that. 144,000 anointed people that will rule and reign with Christ in heaven. Okay, and those are the people that actually really get to participate in the actual taking of the what they call, they don't have any bones about it, straight up alcohol and the unleavened bread. But there will be about 17 million people that will go ahead and attend that. So I have responses on all of these little topics that we'll cover. And the response to that, and this is just one response of many, is why would anyone give credit to a religion that can't trace its origins back to Christ, the apostles, and the prophets? Because that's what Ephesians 2:20 says that we can do. Now, we don't trace ourselves back to John the Baptist, as I've said many, many times. John the Baptist was not the first Baptist. But Jesus Christ talked about being born again, and we are still being born again. That is still a correct dispensational term to use. And so we trace our lineage back to Christ, but we don't have time to cover that today. But when you find out what they think about Christ, you're going to think, you're going to realize how they perverted the Bible. Now, the Bible, what do they do with the Bible? Until the release of the New World Translation, which is what they use today, the Jehovah's Witness primarily used the King James Bible. And that was great. And you can still use that with them. Because even on their website, when you go there, they're going to show you the King James Bible and they're going to show you the New World Translation. Because they know that they have a lineage with that King James Bible and they don't want to look like a total... Now, maybe in, I don't know how many years they might change that. You know, that's how the devil is. Just slowly just knock off the old and bring in the new. And then generations don't know any different. But they used the New World Translation. It was published in 1961. And so that's interesting. They said they weren't started back in the 1870s with Russell. But, I'll give you that. Let's just say you go back to Christ. But you didn't have a Bible until 1961. And what's that all about? You be careful. Be careful. What you're going to find with all of these false cults is they all have some more recent date here that they got the truth. And if you would just, like the Mormons do, like Jehovah's Witness do, and like all this progressive revelation that comes out, that is a sure sign that you're dealing with a cult.
Right.
God's word is forever settled in heaven, right? It's done. So it was in 1961, was later revised in 2013. The New World Translation is based on, in Old Testament, a man named Kittle, Rudolf Kittle. It's the Biblia Hebraica. Now, I could spend the rest of the class talking about him and his false text. Because when you, and here's the thing that you're going to find out. If you ever go home and say, well, you know what? I don't think John Albrecht is right. I think I want to check this stuff out for myself. Have fun. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get on and you are, especially if you use the internet, you'll go on the internet and you're going to find so much false doctrine that's supposedly established as right doctrine. Like there's no doubting it. Like we're going to get into the Tetragrammaton this morning and everybody knows that that means Yahweh, right? Well, that's what everybody thinks today. But you'll go on article. It's Jehovah is what that means. You'll go on article after article after article, and they'll just say, as a matter of fact, well, that we all know that means Yahweh, and Yahweh means this and that. It's just like when you try to study science, and you go on the web, and everywhere you go, it's like, well, we know evolution is the basis for everything we're about to say next, and we all just say, yeah, that's right, evolution. And so it's very hard today to study, especially on the internet, because you're going to find what is considered absolute truth, but it's already been generations away from the truth. And they've in case of our Bibles, and like here in the 1870s and in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, that's when all the new Bibles were coming out. So we're how long past that? Over 100 years past that, and we just take it as gospel. But anyway, so it was revised in 2013. They used the Biblia Hebraica and the Westcott and Hort for the New Testament, which those both Kittle and Westcott and Hort, Kittle himself didn't believe in the validity of the Old Testament scriptures. He didn't believe in Jesus Christ. But they said, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he did a faithful translation. Well, I think it might a little bit. And same thing with Westcott and Hort. They were basically Satanists. And they come out with the New Testament, the Greek New Testament, and they use that as the basis of the New World Translation. They use the Watchtower also, the Watchtower. And this is a quote. We must serve Jehovah in truth. And of course, they're Jehovah's Witness. I think this might go without saying, but they're Jehovah's Witness because Jehovah is the name of God, according to them. Now, I'm wearing this tie on purpose today because it says, and he shall be called in every... you can't fit all the names of God on this tie. So if you want to pick out, you know, now the Lord said that when he talked to Moses, he said, tell him that I am, right, that sent you. I read in Matthew where he said, and there will be a child to be born. I'm going to misquote this. And his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. And then two verses later it says, and his name shall be called Jesus, all capital, J-E-S-U-S, all caps. So which one do you want to pick out as most important? Or do you want to say they're all the same because God, they're one and the same? Of course, they deny the Trinity, and it gets into all kind of things. But anyway, they believe so we must serve Jehovah in truth as revealed in His Word and made clear in the publications. Now get that. And made clear in the publications of the faithful and discreet slave. That's out of Watchtower, 1996, May 15th, page 18. So now the faithful and discreet slave is what they are. The anointed ones, the one that get the advanced revelation, the ones who write the Watchtower, that is not just a fun little publication like we might get for Sunday school. Here's a publication, read it and teach this lesson to your kids this Sunday. No, it is supposedly that makes the Bible more clear, just like the Talmud, as we studied last week. It's just like we will interpret the Bible for you, and we get more advanced revelation. We publish this Watchtower, and so you go by that. And these people that do it are called faithful and discreet slaves. The doctrines of Jehovah's Witnesses are established by a governing body which assumes responsibility for interpreting and applying Scripture. The governing body does not issue any single comprehensive statement of faith, but pervert. Yeah, that's because they're going to be all over the place because they've been changing as they go. But prefers to its doctrinal position in a variety of ways. Through publications published by the Watchtower Society. So you can just throw your Bible away. Because we'll just explain it in a variety of ways. This is their own words. These are not John Albrecht's words. And so this is what they're saying. Just read the Watchtower and you'll be fine. So in a variety of ways through publications published by the Watchtower Society. Their publications teach that doctrinal changes and refinements result from a process of progressive revelation in which God gradually reveals His will and purpose, and that such new light results from the application of reason and study, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and direction from Jesus and angels. So the Bible talks about getting advice from angels. Amen. And you're not supposed to do that. Amen. And they don't believe in the Holy Spirit as you would believe in the Holy Spirit either. They believe that that's just the spirit force of God, right? Kind of like a Star Wars thing. And it's not the Holy Spirit, because there's no Trinity. So in our response, by the way, is we accept no extra biblical revelation.
Amen.
Right? Right?
Amen.
And I gave you references for that. Now I'm looking at the clock, so I'm going to determine which references we'll go to today or not. But you can look those up. And the Bible is forever settled in heaven, as
Amen.
I said. There is nothing going to come our way through me, through pastor, through any Sunday school teacher in this church or any other church where God told me last night, and I'm here to tell you. We were sitting at yesterday together fellowshipping, and my father was talking about the Apostolic Lutheran Church, which is heavy up in Upper Michigan where we'll be this summer. And those people believe that they won't preach a message unless God has given them the message. And I made a joke, and I don't know if everybody took it right or wrong, but I says, I don't even know half the time if I'm saying what God wants me to say.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I'm just saying what I know, what I've read from the Bible, what I've been assured of in my study of the Bible, and I've read it many times, and I just want to give, you speak the truth from the Word of God. But to say, well, I went to sleep last night, and I got this, and as I was writing the Watchtower, I got it in there, and that being progressive revelation is heresy. That's not how God speaks to us today. We honor His Word. Now, Jesus, what do they think of Jesus? Well, they think Jesus is an angel. They think Jesus was a created being. Jesus is Michael, is what they say. Now, let me just read something else that you don't have about the meaning of John 3:16. This comes right out of their JW.org website. The meaning of John 3:16. God loves us and wants us to live forever. For that reason, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth. While on earth, Michael, they all believe that's Michael, by the way, Jesus accomplished much. For one thing, He taught His followers about His God and Father. Because to them, He was a created being. And so when we say God, His Father, they're actually thinking of it in terms of like we would think of it, is you're my son or you're my daughter. For one thing, he taught his followers about his God and Father. For another, he gave his life for mankind to give everlasting life. And they call that a ransom. And we'll deal with that in a few minutes. They don't talk about a substitutionary atonement. They talk about a ransom. And they're heavy on that word. If they come to your door and they start talking about ransom, remember this lesson. And we'll get to that in a minute. The depth of God's love is expressed in the words, "He gave His only begotten Son." Jesus was a unique Son of God. How so? Jesus alone was created directly by God. He is the firstborn of all creation. Colossians 1:15. Why don't you turn to Colossians 1:15? We'll go there. Because this is where you're going to get tripped up. Now, I'm not saying you will get tripped up, but this is where people get tripped up. Colossians 1:15, this is the verse that they cite for what this statement, I'll read it again. Jesus was a unique Son of God. How so? Jesus alone was created directly by God. He is the firstborn of all creation. So, go to Colossians 1:15. It says, talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. That'll throw you for a loop right there. The invisible, no man has seen God at any time. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What's up with that?
Right.
Well, so you got another problem. But the problem they're giving you is the firstborn of every creature. Now, I keep looking at the clock. We haven't even hit the bottom of the first page. And I'll just let that sit with you, okay? And you if you have a Ruckman Bible, that'll help you. That's why we suggest that, because he's a King James Bible believer. He believes every word of God. And he and David Hoffman are the only two men I know that have commentary Bibles that you can actually read difficult verses in your Bible and hope that somebody made a comment on it. And they did. All right, and I would encourage you to read that. If you don't have one, go to the back shelf and pull that off and read that. We don't have time to go for it, but bottom line is they will take verses like this out of the Bible and sit down with, you're a Baptist, okay, and we came into your house and we want to have a Bible study with you. And so Jesus is the firstborn of every creature. Jesus was created. Why do you keep calling him God? He was only the Son of God. Okay, so you've got to have an answer for that, right? Now, you only know right now in your mind, do I have an answer for that? All right. And if you don't, you say, well, I don't care. I'm not going to be a JW anyway. Yeah, but you should care.
Amen.
You shouldn't look at verses like that in the Bible and say, well, yeah, but I'll just gloss over that one because I know I'm right. Well, maybe you're not right. See, it's not my I'm not trying to convert you to JW or any other thing. But what I'm telling you is you better know the Bible.
Amen.
You better not, because if you just say, well, I know that's, no. You better know the Bible. You better not say, well, our church says, because we do that and we don't realize we're doing that.
Amen.
I just always have believed the King James Bible. Well, that's fine, but that's not good enough.
Amen.
Because when you sit down with the wrong people and they are smarter than us and they show you why you're dumb for having that, I just believe the King James Bible, they'll take it out of your hands and you'll never get it back.
Amen.
I'll prove it to you. I know many kids who've gone off to college, good, what we would call good Christian fundamental colleges, they come back, they don't believe it. They took it right out of their hands. So you got to have an answer for stuff like this. But anyway, going on about John 3:16, all other creations, including the other angels, came into existence through Jesus or by means of Him. They believe Jesus assisted God in creation, that Jesus was not the creator. But my Bible says that Jesus was the creator.
Amen.
So that's why they have a New World Translation. Yet Jehovah, God, was willing to send His dearest Son to minister and to give His life as a ransom. They use that all the time. Matthew 20:28. Turn to that while your Bible's open. Matthew 20:28. This is quoted often in their literature. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. What's a ransom? It's a payment, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, I've got your kid, and if you want him back, you give me a ransom, right? That's what all the movies have it as. And so I have to pay a price to this crook in order to get my son back. Now, that's called the ransom theory. That Origen was one of the guys who started that idea, and there's other bunch of heretics who started that the ransom had to be paid to the devil in order to get people back from the bondage of the devil. Well, that's how the Jehovah's Witness, they don't say they believe that, but that's basically what they believe. They believe the ransom was paid to God, but that we were enslaved and to the devil. And they always use the word, they're faithful slaves, and if you're to Christ or to God, Jehovah, and we're slaves to the devil, they're always throwing that word around. Whenever they repeat certain words, pay attention, because that'll tell you something. But anyway, Jesus suffered and died to liberate us from sin and death, which we inherited from the first man, Adam. And that's where they believe the ransom had to be paid, that Jesus had to come, and it goes back to Adam. I'll explain more in a moment. Exercising faith in Jesus involves more than believing in Him or acknowledging what He did for us. We must prove our faith in God's Son by obeying Him and following in His footsteps. And they talk about having to live a good life. I'm not going to continue reading on. They talk about living a good life and being baptized in order to have proper belief in God or in Jesus Christ. About Jesus being Michael, the Bible mentions only one other a name of someone having authority over an army of angels. This is what they say. This is their rationale for it. It describes the revelation of our Lord Jesus from heaven with His powerful angels in a flaming fire as He brings vengeance. Jesus went to heaven and the angels and authorities and powers were made subject to Him. It would not make sense for God to set up Jesus and Michael as rival commanders of the holy angels. Rather, it is more reasonable to conclude that both names, Jesus and Michael, refer to the same person. Well, that may seem reasonable to you, but that's not what the Bible says. And so this is how they will teach you. Let's see here. Let me get back to the actual paper. So Jesus is Michael, the highest created being. They believe He died on a stake, not a cross. I don't have time to get into that, but they just kind of make a joke out of it. Well, when have you ever seen a tree that looks like this? Yeah. That's what they say. Most trees are upright. They're like a stake. They're a long pole, you know. And so Jesus died on a stake. Okay. But the Bible says, the King James Bible says, He died on a cross. Amen. And the cross, if you do any study on the cross, it was a representation of what came from the Romans there, the way of crucifixion. And we know that in our other studies from Roman Catholicism, that it goes all the way back to Genesis 10 and what Constantine saw in 313 AD when he looked up in the sky. And they say, well, all these churches, you know, have these cross symbols. Now, this is what I say. They say all these churches have all these cross symbols on them, on their chairs, on their books, you know, on their steeples. And that's just a sign of a pagan thing. And I'm like, amen, that's right. It's a sign of a pagan. That's why don't wear one around your neck. Don't hang them on the wall of your house. Get them off the chairs and off the songbooks if we can. Put duct tape over it. I mean, I'm not that superstitious. It don't matter. But we know what we know about it, right? It is a sign of a curse. But they make a big deal out of this stuff. Why? Well, to differentiate themselves from you. To make you think that you've been lied to all of your life. And so if you really thought it through and reasonable, I mean, there can't be two commanders, and it can't be Michael and Jesus, so Michael must be Jesus. And he couldn't have possibly died on a cross. I mean, when have you seen a tree like this? So that's what they say. Jesus died on a stake. From their website, we follow the teachings and example of Jesus Christ and honor Him as our Savior and as the Son of God, and they give the references for it. Thus, we are Christians. And they give Acts 11:26. They were first called Christians in Antioch. So thus we are Christians. So you don't have to be afraid of us. We're Christians too. We follow Jesus too. Yeah, well, the Catholics say they follow Jesus too, but we know they don't follow Him the way we follow Him.
Right.
That's another Jesus, right? And they have another Jesus. Already we know He's not Michael. We know there's a Trinity. However, we have... Now go on. However, we have learned from the Bible that Jesus is not Almighty God. And that there is no scriptural basis for the Trinity doctrine. And they give a reference. But modern JWs believe different than Charles Taze Russell. Because I have a copy right here in my hand, just a little a snippet from a copy that you can find this actual PDF online. You can search for this actual PDF. And Russell This is what he wrote in the Watchtower back in the 1800s. Now, Russell changed as he went too, I have to believe, because but what he wrote here is pretty interesting. He said, "No theologian need attempt an explanation of the divine sonship of our Lord." And then he says, he quotes, "But it has pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the Word, the truth, the personal embodiment of all that is good and true, and emphatically the revelation of God. The Word was with God and the Word was God," he quotes. "The Word was made flesh. He took our nature, the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He of whom it was said, 'Let all the angels worship him.'" And then he said, that must include Michael. If all the angels have to worship him, then Michael, he differentiated the two, and he said, Michael must have to worship him. So he put a difference. "And thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. He left the glory he had with the Father before the foundation of the world, made himself of no reputation, was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." That's out of the Watchtower, July 1879, page 9. So you see how that they can have this progressive revelation and realize, well, that's not what we believe anymore. Right? Be careful, of course, as they talk to you. You may think you have one over on them, and they may say, oh, we don't believe that. But don't let that throw you. We've learned from the Bible that he's not Almighty God, and there's no scriptural basis for the doctrine. Our response, Jesus is God.
Amen.
Just that's it. Jesus is God. Amen. I don't have to explain it to you. I don't want to explain it to you because you're not going to listen. But if they have a little student there listening, you might want to use one of the verses I listed for you. Acts 20:28 is a real good one about God shed his own blood.
Amen.
On that cross. That was God's blood that came out.
Amen.
On that cross. And there's many, many others, as you know. Salvation. What do they believe about salvation? Jehovah's Witnesses do not teach that Christ's substitutionary atonement. They don't teach substitutionary atonement, but instead hold to a concept similar to the ransom theory that I mentioned a little while ago, propagated by men like Origen. Jehovah's Witnesses erroneously believe that Jesus' death was merely a ransom for Adam's sin. See, Adam consciously sinned against God. You were born that way. So you didn't consciously decide to be born this way. But Adam made the choice. Adam was born perfect or made perfect, and then he chose to sin against God. So the ransom, that this is what they believe, the ransom is payment for what Adam did. But if you believe in that ransom, Jesus, then you get the forgiveness to be able to get salvation. So it's like all these nice little fine lines that they draw. Okay, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus' death was merely a ransom for Adam's sin and provided the opportunity for recovery from enslavement by Satan. They say deliverance from sin and death is possible through the ransom sacrifice of Jesus' body. And I bolded that for you. And I give you the same reference of Matthew 20:28, Acts 4:12. They do say, Acts 4:12, I believe, says, "There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." So they do believe that Jesus' name is important and that Jesus was an important being. But they believe it's his body. So, thus, they conclude that Christ did not resurrect bodily, but only spiritually. Because his body was the payment for Adam's sin. Now we know that the blood was.
Amen.
But they can't say that. Why can't they say that? Because what efficacy would his blood have? Right? Because it wasn't God's blood. So they don't believe in a substitutionary atonement. It may seem like a fine line and maybe you're a little confused about that. Believe me, it takes a lot of time to digest some of this information. But it's wrong. What they're saying is wrong. That this will not save you. Just having belief in Jesus Christ, the devils believe and tremble.
Amen. Yeah.
Right? Do you have to have a doctrinal dissertation to be born again? Do you have to believe in the Trinity? Do you have to believe that Jesus was God? Do you have to know everything about the Bible? No. But I will say this. I said it last week. We do a very poor job at witnessing. We say, and there's a little saying that goes, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, now you're saved.
Yeah.
Right? And don't ever witness like that. Even be careful about the tracts that you pass out. Make sure the tracts that you pass out have a clear message in them, a clear understanding about how you're saved. Because I do believe that we don't present Jesus Christ the way we ought to present Him. We don't make people out to be sinners and in need of repentance. We just say God loves you and wants you to have and has a glorious plan for your life. Don't you want to receive Him and start living that glorious life? That's the wrong way to witness. You owe a debt that you can't pay, and the one who paid it was Jesus Christ. You nailed Him to the cross. You're guilty of putting Him on the cross. And if you don't accept His payment for your sin, you are going to go to hell. And we don't talk to people that way because we're afraid of people. And we think, well, we'll scare them away. Well, that's the gospel message. And so, anyway, they also give the wrong... We don't want people believing in the wrong Jesus. The Jesus that will give me a raise at my work and will prosper my life and He wants to give me good things. And if you just come forward and receive Jesus today, all your troubles will be cast on Him and you'll start to see the change. And that's why all these TV preachers are very popular. Because they're giving out that message and that's what people want.
Right.
But we know that we're called to suffer in the Christian life. And signing up to be a Christian means signing up for suffering. But anyway... So they believe it's His body. Jesus today is like an angel in heaven. He does not have a body, Jehovah raised Him back to spirit life, is what they say. To benefit from the sacrifice, people must not only exercise faith in Jesus, but also change their course of life and get baptized. That's right from their website. A person's works prove his faith is alive. James 2 said it last week. Two things will fix every problem in the world: belief in the King James Bible and rightly dividing that word of truth.
Amen.
So when you go to James and you say, well, that's what James said, well, you're going to the wrong place. Why don't you go to what Paul said? Because they contradict each other.
Amen.
The Bible doesn't contradict. They contradict.
Amen.
James and Paul. Why? Because two different audiences.
Yes, sir.
Two different methods of receiving the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's heresy. Yeah, I know. But you ought to believe the Bible.
Amen.
And that if the Bible says it, it's not heresy.
Amen.
It's heresy with you.
Right.
And the way you grew up and the way you thought things were. And you just don't like it. And so you walk away.
Right.
Let's see here. But they do backtrack a little bit. And they say, however, salvation cannot be earned. It comes through the undeserved kindness of God. And it does come through the undeserved kindness of God. But you have to repent to get that undeserved kindness. They say, well, what they're saying is, if you get baptized and you do enough good works, then God's undeserved kindness might shed on you. All right? That's what they really mean. So our response, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. We have been redeemed from the bondage of sin through Jesus Christ, our propitiation. Jesus became sin for us and was our substitute. When no ransom was paid to the devil. Now, they don't say that, but they basically might as well, because we're enslaved to the devil. And if that payment wasn't made, then we're just still enslaved to the devil. But anyway, Jesus arose having a glorified body. We know that. And it's the same body that awaits all believers. So if you believe you're going to have a glorified body someday, which they don't. But if you believe you're going to have a glorified body someday, you believe you're going to get the same body that Jesus had. And so there's all the scripture for it right from the Bible there. Now, let's get to this here up here on the board. This is the whole basis of their religion, which is the idea of Jehovah's Witness, Jehovah being their name. So Jehovah's Witnesses emphasize the use of the name Jehovah, a representation of God's name based on the Tetragrammaton. That's what this is up here. On your paper, it should say tetra is four and grammaton is letters. All right, so just a big word that means four letters. So here's what you have. You have four letters. This is 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay, I need to get something else here. Now, let's just read this first, and I'll get back to the board. The Tetragrammaton, commonly transliterated into Latin letters as YHWH, which is Yahweh. OK, Okay, now, I did a lesson on this, so I'm gonna just skip over a lot of things. If you go on our church website and you look up Yahweh or Jehovah in our video section under sermons, you'll find it. It's about midway into the lesson, and we're talking about Matthew 11 there, and we hit a spot where I dealt with this before, put it up on the board, went into length at it, maybe 10, 15 minutes length study on that. And so you might want to go back, if anything I say interests you at all, then you might want to go back and watch that more detailed. But they say it's YHWH, but should be JHVH. Okay, now this is where you're going to get into the mud when you start to study this stuff, and especially when you go online, because everybody's, it's a fact, they say, that it's YHWH. It's got to be Yahweh. And you can go back, and you can go back into the 1800s, the commentaries, the guys right back then, and they'll say the same thing. Yahweh is a false construction, however, of the Tetragrammaton by Latin Roman Catholics and German rationalists of the 19th century who didn't believe the validity of the Old Testament, like Kittles. The guy that we talked about is based on the New World Translation. The vowel points of the Tetragrammaton reveal the correct pronunciation, Jehovah. But many Christian seminaries and books say the vowel points were not in the originals, but were rather inserted by the Masoretes in the 10th century. But research by John Gill and Johannes Buxtorf, just to name two, and others reveal that these vowel points have always been there and were removed by those who sought to corrupt the text. Did you follow that? Were you reading with me? Okay, so here's, we'll stop right here. Let me show you. This is four letters, right? This is what they say is, this is Y, this is H, this is W, and this is H. That's what they say. All right? Now we would say, no, this is J, this is H, this is V, and this is H. So you can see idea of Yahweh, or you can see the idea of Jehovah, right? Okay, now they're saying, well, Hebrew doesn't have vowels. And if this is Hebrew, by the way. and you can tell I don't read Hebrew or write Hebrew. I don't know Hebrew. God knows Hebrew. He invented this language. So if you look at it and say, I don't want anything to do with that, well, God likes it.
Yeah, amen.
But anyway, this is your Old Testament stuff. And so they would say, oh no, let's read it. Look at your paper again. The vowel points, about halfway down in the bottom paragraph, the vowel points of the Tetragrammaton reveal the correct pronunciation of Jehovah. But many Christian seminaries and books say the vowel points were not in the originals, but rather inserted in the 10th century. So in other words, we take YHWH and we do the best we can, and they don't even... Anybody who says Yahweh doesn't know what they're talking about.
Right.
Okay? So don't say it. And don't go along with it. Because if they believe this, then they also believe there's no vowels. So how do you get Yahweh? How do you... You just made that up.
Right.
There's no A or E or anything to stick in there to fit the name and the pronunciation of Yahweh.
Amen.
Okay? So you just added that when you're believing... that there were no vowel points. So you're just making stuff up.
That's right.
All right, now me, and not just me, but the Jehovah's, the King James translators decided differently, didn't they?
Yes.
They decided that it was Jehovah.
Amen.
And they only decided it was Jehovah seven times in your Bible, instead of almost 7,000 times in the New World Translation.
Right. Amen.
Why? Well, because there's some criteria they had for it. But otherwise, they also knew that there... And J, by the way, is not in Hebrew. Right? So, well, you don't know. Maybe you don't know that. But J, there's no J. They use a Y.
Right.
All right? And so they would say this. They would say YHVH, which is no big deal. You know, it's just like from one language to another how you pronounce something. But they would say... So, but anyway. I knew if I started this. So right here... Here's a vowel point right here. You can't probably see this on your paper, but it's there in red. That's why I'm using the red marker. This is where one of the vowel points would be. That turns this, just for brevity's sake, that turns this into a J-E. That puts an E in there, if that vowel point is correct. All right, and it is correct. And then you have this here.
a holon. This is a skiva, this is a holon, because it looks like a hole. That's how I remember it. It's a hole. But it's a dot. And that makes that an O in there. So you got Jeho. And then you have this little thing down here, and I forget what they call this one. It looks like a T. It goes like this. It's a vowel point. And that gives you the A. Alright? So what you end up with is Yehovah or Jehovah. You don't, and it doesn't even come close to Yahweh.
Right, amen.
Alright, so what's the deal with Yahweh?
Well, if you want to get into conspiracy again... and you have to have a little conspiracy in you to really research this stuff, because you realize that if it's not lining up with the King James Bible, something's wrong.
Amen.
Right? We go by that as a premise.
Amen.
And so, what's wrong? Well, if you start researching the first part of Yah, Y-A-H, and you find out that that it goes into Greek mythology and worshiping of gods, and Yah was the god of Jupiter.
Right.
And Jupiter seems to be a common theme amongst these religions. That they have something about the planets that they're worshiping out there. And Pastor always warns us, don't go out there. I'm not going out there, but I mean, yeah, I don't have the money to go out there anyway, but that's they always have this affinity towards the stars and the moon and the sun and anything else. And so here's churches saying, praise Yahweh, love Yahweh, it's on their bumpers. And what are they actually praising the god of Jupiter? Which right goes back to the devil, basically, Satan himself. He's getting the glory and not God. Because all modern Christians are just suckers and they just believe everything they hear. Hand me a different Bible that's easier to read. Give me the music I like and give me a better name for God so I can seem more spiritual.
Yeah.
And now at least, of all the criticism for Jehovah's Witness, they got that right. It's Jehovah. But they got a lot of other things wrong in terms of how many times it ought to be Jehovah. It's not Jehovah 6,000 plus times. It's Jehovah 7 times. How do you know, John? Because that's in my King James Bible.
Amen.
So, look back at your paper. So, JWs believe, the last sentence there, JW on the first side, JWs believe that Jehovah is the only true God and the universal sovereign. They believe that all worship should be directed toward Him and that He is not part of a Trinity. They can't believe that because then they'd have to believe that Jesus was God. So if you can't believe something because your religion tells you, then your religion may be wrong.
Amen.
Maybe the Bible's right.
Amen.
They believe the Holy Spirit is God's applied power or active force rather than a person. The New World Translation uses the name Jehovah 6,979 times in the Old Testament and 237 times in the New Testament. The King James Bible uses the name Jehovah 7 times in the Old Testament and the name Jesus 983 times in the New Testament.
Amen.
So our response to the Jehovah's Witness, the reason the New World Translation says Jehovah more than the King James Bible is because it's improperly translated. Simple enough. The King James Bible translates the Tetragrammaton as Lord all but 7 times in the Old Testament. The King James translators properly use the name Jehovah wherever the name Jehovah or YHWH. Is that what's in your notes, YHWH or JV? What? Okay, good. Because I had it mistyped on my notes. So whenever the name Jehovah was found under one of the three following conditions, and the conditions are this. When Jehovah is used as God's personal name, and there's the references for it. When God's name is used, is repeated. So in this case, I gave you an example, Yah or Jah, Jehovah, right? So if it's back to back, they put it in as Jehovah. When God's personal name is part of a place or a name, like Jehovah Jireh, it's a place, a named place, they'll put Jehovah in. They put Lord Jireh, right? So, and then, of course, we could spend a longer time here, but I don't have the time to do it, as they put the name Jesus. Now, what we will say is this. In Exodus, go to Exodus 3:13. And we'll probably just wrap it up here. Exodus 3:13. This is really what matters, what we're going over right now. We can always point out what's wrong with these other religions and how they do things wrong. But don't be fooled by that stuff.
Amen.
Know your Bible enough to say, well, that's wrong.
Amen.
And not just because, well, why? Well, because I've never heard it that way. That's not what your response ought to be. Your response ought to be, because I know this verse that says you're wrong. So Exodus 3:13, it says this, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, let's see. Turn a few pages to Exodus chapter 6. And let's look at verse 3. Well, let's look at verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. So there's your name Jehovah. Chapter 3 says, tell them that I am. Same thing. This is Moses and God talking about getting the children of Israel out. I am over here, Jehovah over here. Now let's go to our New Testament. Well, you have it right on the paper, so you don't have to even turn. John 8:58. And this is what got Jesus hung on the cross. John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
So, I am is I am, but talking to Moses, right?
Yes.
And I am also said, and I'm Jehovah.
Amen.
Talking to Moses. And Jesus over here says, I am.
Amen.
So you know when you look at the word Jehovah in the Old Testament, what you're looking at? You're looking at Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so this is easy to understand when you do cross-referencing in the right Bible.
Amen.
God's holy, perfect words.
Amen.
That are pure and preserved, and there's no error in them.
Amen.
Right? But to a Jehovah's Witness, their minds have already been corrupted by Satan. Talk about enslavement. They've been enslaved by the devil, and they can't think properly because they have and they switched out the Bible so they can't think properly, and they hand them a New World Translation. You say, well, that's a great thing. Why does the King James translators call it Lord, and they should just go ahead and put, whenever the Tetragrammaton shows up, they should have put Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. Well, no, that would have changed doctrine.
Right.
That would have changed the doctrine that saves your soul.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
And you know what? Jesus proclaimed it. He proclaimed to those Pharisees and to those listening. And Peter got it right.
Amen.
Right? Peter confessed that he was the Lord. And so he says that here. So it must be important that we realize that he is God.
Amen.
Must be important that when he goes on that cross and he sheds his blood, that we realize it's the blood of God. So again, when we witness to people, we might want to point out that you're believing in Almighty God when you believe in Jesus. And the idea of the Trinity just might come out in your witnessing, because we need to have you understand that God is a three in one. And do you believe that? And listen, if I'm a repentant sinner and if I'm wanting salvation, I believe. Now, you don't have to get out the doctrinal books and start teaching them everything about rightly dividing the word of the truth and why you don't need to be baptized in this age and all that stuff. May not all come out, but they better understand who they're trusting in.
Amen.
And it better be the God of the Bible. The Jehovah of the Bible, that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, we're done, but you can read the rest. It's kind of just, again, just funny stuff, really. Not funny, but I mean, it's just goofy that they say they're a religion, they have a Bible, but they don't believe in hell. But Jesus preached on a burning hell. They believe that heaven, this is where Jesus is a spirit being, right, up in heaven. Right now, I will read this part to you. Go to the kingdom of God. They believe that only, of course, so many people are going to end up in heaven. And what happens is when you die right now, you go straight to soul sleep. Okay, you're not annihilated. They believe in annihilation, but not yet. Right now, you go to sleep when you die. And then what's going to happen is there's going to be a great resurrection. And when you're going to get resurrected and stand before Almighty God, Jehovah, and He is going to ask you, do you receive me or don't you? So if you don't ever become a Jehovah's Witness, don't worry about it. Just live your life, have a party, because one of these days you're going to be resurrected and stand before God, and then you can choose Him. That's what they say. So you might as well eat, drink, and be merry, right? So you're going to be resurrected, and then you have a chance. And if you don't receive that offer at that time, you'll be annihilated. So in other words, you won't go back to sleep and get another chance later. You'll just be totally annihilated. You'll never get a chance again, and you just won't ever exist. Well, some people would say, that's not so bad, because I didn't know I existed before I existed anyway, and that didn't bother me, right? So I might as well have a good time. I don't need all these rules. I mean, guys like me think that way. You might be more spiritual. So the kingdom of God, though, they believe this. Look, if you want to follow with me or just listen, halfway down in the paragraph, they believe the kingdom of God was established in 1914 and that Jehovah's Witnesses serve as representatives of the kingdom on earth. So that's what they're doing, running around being his representatives. This is why they meet in kingdom halls. Kingdom halls, kingdom, the kingdom. We talk about the kingdom, you know, bringing in the kingdom. We don't do that. The year 1914 marked the end of a 2,520-year period called the Gentile Times. Well, you're wrong. We're in the times of the Gentiles right now, still. But besides that, at which time world society will be replaced by the full establishment of God's kingdom on earth. I won't read any more. But basically, Jesus is never coming back to this earth again, they say. He is sitting on a throne, a spirit body, and he is ruling and reigning from up there. So he is running the words back down to the watchtower slaves so that they are writing the watchtower to get the progressive revelations so when you go to the kingdom hall, you can get your you know, papers to go out this week and do your job. I mean, if it wasn't so sad and tragic and blasphemous, it's hilarious.
Right.
You know, that people actually believe this stuff. So you can see how that politics and blood transfusions, read that on your own. But the last thing is, if a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, what do you do? Don't invite them into your home or wish them God's blessing. And I gave you the verse for it. All right. You say, well, yeah, but if I get a chance to sit them down, don't get them into your home. Say, well, that verse isn't written to me. That was for another time. Just don't invite them into your home.
Amen.
It's best advice. Don't think that you're going to have to. And don't think, well, I got one thing I did one time is I they came to my door. And usually I just like pretend I'm not home. Right. And so I've been down this road a million times. So but one time they came to the door and I said, I'm going to answer the door and see what these people have to say this time. And we started talking and I had these notes. But they weren't in my hand, right? I didn't, and they were in my computer, and I had to print them. So I knew they wouldn't wait for it. So I said, "Well, you guys go on down the street," and we just kind of, it wasn't going to, you know, happen. But I thought, no, these guys are going to my neighbor's.
Right.
You know, they're going to my neighbor's door. So I went in my office and I printed this up, and I got on my bicycle, and I went down the street, pedaled down the street because they were already down there, and I caught up to them as they were leaving. I said, "Here," but you know what they don't do, right? They don't take your stuff. I said, and I gave them the line. You know, give me your stuff then, and then you take mine. But again, so inviting them into your house is just as futile. You're not going to get anywhere. All they're going to do, all you're doing, is giving an entrance to the devil. Say, well, I'm trying to help them. You're just giving an entrance to the devil, and as soon as they get into you, they're going to say something, and then you're not going to have an answer, and then you're just going to question, and it's going to go from there. So anyway. That's Jehovah's Witness in a nutshell. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we're not Jehovah's Witness. God, we recognize your name as Jehovah, and I am, and Emmanuel, and Jesus, and God with us, and all the names, Lord, that you have, the Word. And Lord, we know that you've magnified that above all your name. And so, Lord, we trust in the Word. We don't trust in a magazine. We don't trust in a preacher. Lord, we trust in the Word of God, and we thank you, Lord, that we've been given that knowledge. And Lord, we pray that this church would always be that way. It would never change from that. And God, that people would want to have that, and they would come and be at this church, Lord, for your sake. And so we ask, Lord, for these people that are deceived in this, especially the young folks, that, Lord, you'd open their eyes to the truth and get them out of this cult. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.